time to wake up. It's Saturday morning. Find some milk and cereal. Grab a bowl and spoon. No, a bigger spoon. Head to the living room and take a seat on the floor while Joseph and Chris present to you
Saturday Morning Cartoon!
Hello everybody and welcome to Saturday Morning Cartoon Boom! This is a show where we wake up with the Saturday morning sun, plop down on the floor with a big bowl of sugary cereal and watch all your favorite cartoons, both old and new. I'm Joseph.
And I'm Chris.
And this morning we watched Scooby-Doo and the Ghoul School. No theme song, really. It just kind of opens cold, right?
I think so. I think it's just music while they're talking. But
well, it's like, I don't even know if there's talking, because it's like just driving down like a dark road.
I think
road
like Scooby first. And Shaggy are talking to each other.
Okay.
This was suggested by Prince Dragonair via YouTube. So thank you, Prince Dragonair. I'm sure that's his real name.
Yeah, his legal last name is Dragonair.
Oh, absolutely.
Probably like Ed. Ed Dragonair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ed Dragonair. Yeah, that sounds right.
We'll go with it. So Scooby-Doo and the Ghoul School was a made-for-TV movie that aired in 1988. It was written by Glenn Leopold and directed by Charles A. Nichols, produced by Hanna-Barbera Productions. It ran on a syndicated network, so it ran just across multiple networks when it first aired. And for a short synopsis, Scooby-Doo and the gang visited a haunted school. After the girls are kidnapped, it's up to Scooby and the gang to save them. That's kind of redundant. And it doesn't give you a lot.
No, not at all. And like, that's only like one third of the plot.
Yeah.
Like maybe even just a fourth of the plot. I don't know. Except unlike most Scooby-Doo cartoons and stuff, this wasn't somebody in disguise.
I think for the most part, the movies are not people in disguise.
Yeah, it's kind of weird that way. But I guess it's just like, you know what? We're tired of teasing it. So now you're just going to get full-fledged monsters.
But see, I wonder if it's canon, like, if they... Because how would you go back to, like, catching crooks in disguise if you've seen real monsters and real ghosts? Wouldn't it be just like... Like, how would you even have fear anymore if you've confronted real supernatural right. beings?
Lots of drugs.
I guess.
Lots of drugs. Because it's very obvious that Shaggy is pretty baked most of the time. So he probably doesn't even remember... like anything that they've done in the past.
That's what a lot of people assume, and I would agree with them.
Like someone commented on our Facebook today, and I didn't really explore this because I was lazy, but someone said that, like, I guess Casey Kasem, who originally voiced Shaggy, kind of said at some point that he just kind of assumed that Shaggy was like a stoner.
Yeah. I mean, he just comes, I mean, he's like your basic 70s hippie type, I guess. And so,
yeah, exactly.
That would kind of go with the role. I don't know. But so who were some of the actors who played in this movie?
All right. So both Scooby and Scrappy-Doo were voiced by Don Messick, who has voiced tons of other cartoon characters. So he was like Boo Boo from the Yogi Bear cartoons, Bandit and Dr. Quest and Johnny Quest. It was Muttley and all those random Hanna-Barbera cartoons where they're doing like races, like wacky races and all that stupid stuff.
Yeah.
He was Toad and the Fly from Drac Pack. If you remember, like, I know you loved the Fly and how obnoxious he was, that little French guy who wasn't even a fly at all. It was like he wore a hat or something.
Oh, yeah. Boo.
He was Ratchet and Transformers, Astro from the Jetsons, Papa Smurf and Azrael from the Smurfs. Hampton from Tiny Toon Adventures, and he was the voice of Droopy from, like, you know, all the old, like, Tom and Jerry cartoon hour kind of things. So he's done a lot, and a lot of dogs. He's voiced a lot of dogs.
So that was still Don Messick you were talking about?
Yes.
Wow, nice.
It's weird how many dogs he does, but yeah, I guess if you're good at it, you know, just stick with it.
I mean, it would kind of be between him and Frank Welker.
Well, yeah, Frank Welker actually appeared in this too, but he didn't really have him play a part where he had like voice lines that much. He did, Frank Welker was the voice of the werewolf and the well dweller monster. And then I think one of the other random monsters.
Oh, he was Matches also.
Oh, Matches, yeah. Which, and Matches didn't really have many speaking parts. He was just kind of like saying like a bunch of garbly stuff. And then every once in a while you'd hear one word. But the voice of Shaggy was Casey Kasem. Casey is voiced Robin from pretty much every Super Friends cartoon you can imagine. He was Alexander from Josie and the Pussycats. He was Mark in Battle of the Planets. which we've done on this show, and Cliffjumper from Transformers. You notice there's a lot of Transformers alums in this. Like, just, well, there's pretty much, if you were in the 80s, you were on Transformers, especially if you're a guy. Miss Grimwood was voiced by Glynis Johns, who mainly did movies, but she did have her own television series called Glynis in 1963 and had several appearances in the original Batman from 1967 as Lady Penelope Peasoup.
Okay.
I don't know what character that's supposed to be, but sounds like someone that might hang out with Penguin. I don't know.
I don't know. I don't remember her.
Lady Peasoup. Sybilla was voiced by Susan Blue, another person that we have heard a lot from doing this show. So she voiced Flim Flam in 13 Ghosts of Scooby-Doo. She was RC from Transformers. She was also in cartoons like Galaxy High School, Wildfire, My Little Pony, Brave Star, Jim, and Toxic Crusaders as Mona. But she usually works as a voice director on pretty much every classic cartoon series from the late 80s onward. The voice of Tannis was Patty Maloney, who voiced the character of Darla in the 1980s Little Rascals animated series. Elsa Frankenteen was voiced by Pat Musick, who was the voice of April from Saber Rider and the Star Sheriffs. She's also been in Smurfs, Gummy Bears, The Tick, Duckman, and she was Janine in Extreme Ghostbusters.
Nice.
The voice of Winnie was Marilyn Schreffer, who was the voice of Olive Oil and Sweet Pea in Popeye. She was also in Heathcliff, The Dukes, which was a cartoon version of The Dukes of Hazzard that I didn't know existed, and we will have to watch someday and see how racist it is. The Incredible Hulk animated series, Alvin and the Chipmunks, Pawpaws, and the Flintstone Kids. And then finally, last one on my list here is Phantasma, who was voiced by Russi Taylor, and she has had a crazy awesome career. She was Pebbles from the Flintstones. She was Birdie from McDonaldland, which I didn't know was a thing. But I guess it was a TV show of all those, like, you know, puppet and suit characters that McDonald's used to have.
Yeah.
You know, they had, like, Birdie and Fry Guy and Mayor McCheese.
Like, Grimace.
Yeah, and Frank Welker was Grimace.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that weird?
We have to watch that man. One day.
Russi Taylor was also the voice of Huey, Dewey, and Louie from DuckTales, Gonzo from Muppet Babies, Martin from The Simpsons, and she voices Minnie Mouse in absolutely everything that Disney puts out.
Jeez.
So, huge career there.
Seriously. Well, here's a few tasty marshmallows out of our big bowl of Ghoul School cereal. First of all the Ghoul Girls were inspired, obviously, by the Universal Studio Monsters. So, Sybilla, you know, is a vampire whose father is literally Dracula. Elsa Frankenteen, she is the daughter, I mean, seemingly the daughter of Frankenstein's monster, and then the bride of Frankenstein, just based on her hair and the kind of zigzag it has in it.
I'm kind of wondering how, like, dead bodies can, like, procreate.
You know what? That is a good question that kind of goes with a couple of these. Winnie is a werewolf who's a daughter of the Wolfman, but it doesn't seem like she ever turns human. Like, it doesn't have to be a full moon or anything. She's just always a werewolf. So,
well, that's because her mother was an actual wolf.
I guess so. I mean, that's the only explanation.
It's just the wolf man was just like, you know, he gets confused. I mean, if you're part wolf and part man, I guess you can go either way, and maybe that wouldn't be considered illegal.
But, maybe.
I mean, if you're in Wisconsin, that's fine, because that's legal. But
I mean, even like during this movie, the wolf man is like, oh, the full moon's gonna, you know, go down or something. So he's concerned about it, but she doesn't care. But doesn't matter.
It doesn't
to her.
Even like faze her. She just stays in that form.
Yeah. Tannis is just a baby mummy, basically.
What do you think is under all those, like, those wrappings? You think, like, if you unwrapped her all the way, would there be nothing there? Or do you think there'd be, like, a dead baby corpse walking around?
I mean, I assume it's just a corpse of a child.
Yeah, that's pretty morbid.
It is, but, I mean, she's pretty concerned about keeping her bandages on, so I would be too in that case. Also, lastly, Phantasma, or Fanti, as they call her, is... she's a ghost, but supposedly her father is inspired by the Phantom of the Opera, except instead of a man in a mask because he has a disfigured face, he's literally a phantom in this. So that one's like the loosest take on the Universal Studio Monsters, but that's the tie to it. I mean, and it makes sense too, because she's very musically inclined, as was Phantom of the Opera. So,
you know what? I didn't even draw that conclusion. That's very interesting, because I was just like, man, they really wanted a ghost. So they just kind of made up a character.
I mean, I guess it makes more sense for the monster thing than making her just a disfigured kid with like a mask on or something.
Right.
So this next one's interesting because Shaggy was wearing a red shirt in this, and he only wears that red shirt in four other productions, three of them being movies, one being this movie, the second being, you know, Scooby-Doo Meets the Boo Brothers, and the third being Scooby-Doo and the Reluctant Werewolf, the most recent one. And then the last thing he wears that red shirt in is the Saturday morning series that we've already watched, 13 Ghosts of Scooby-Doo.
13 Ghosts.
So in every iteration of, I mean, he doesn't wear it much, but we've seen both or two of the things that he's worn it in. So I've always questioned like why he's not in his green shirt in some of these things. And there's just no explanation. He just has a red shirt sometimes.
You know what? We've actually watched three of those now.
Have we?
Yeah. The only one we haven't watched is Reluctant Werewolf.
Oh, we did watch the Boo Brothers. That's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
We watched it last year, this time last
year. Yeah. So we're three for three as far as red shirt Shaggy goes.
So that means next year we're going to have to go for that last red shirt. It's like an achievement we're unlocking.
It's so weird. I mean, it's like, so Shaggy to us is red shirt Shaggy. It's going to be weird seeing him back in green.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. I don't know why they changed his wardrobe.
They don't change his wardrobe, just his shirt color. That's it.
I mean, just the shirt. But yeah. I mean, it's like every other character, you know, you see like Thelma or Daphne, they're always wearing the exact same colors and stuff. Like it never changes.
Mm-hmm.
Except every once in a while in some of the newer cartoons, if they go on like a vacation or something, you know, they'll change for like, you know, a day or two. But other than that, it's always the same wardrobe with these characters. So I don't know why back then they were changing his shirt.
Yeah, in just four different productions.
I feel like there's some sort of conspiracy here that we haven't unraveled, but I'll check Snopes later and find out.
Yeah, find out. I tried to do a little research on it, but there wasn't much that I could find.
Huh.
But you're better at these things as a conspiracy guy.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You'll find out. So do you have any memories of this movie? Like, have you ever seen it before?
Oh, yeah. I saw this as a kid, and I remember distinctly having crushes on two of the girls.
Mm-hmm.
And they're still like freaking adorable. Like both Sabella and Phantasma were my crushes as a kid.
Yep.
And I think, well, Sabella, because she was just super adorable, and Phantasma is adorable too. But I remember that it was because of her laugh that really endeared me to her as a kid. And, you know, and as an adult, I think it's the most obnoxious thing ever and I hate it. Now, like, I mean, the first time I heard it again, I was just like, oh, yeah, I remember that. That's cute. And then, like, you know, a half hour later, and I'm like, God, how much of this movie is left? Like, I don't know if I can take any more of her laugh. But I love their character designs.
Oh, yeah. It's funny that you say that, because those are the same crushes that I had as a kid. And especially, like you said, Phantasma. Like, I don't know what it was about her that appealed to me so much as a kid. Maybe it was the weird laugh. Maybe, I don't know, maybe she was just the oddest of all of them, and so I was attracted to that. I don't know, but it was kind of the same situation.
I definitely dated some girls like in my life that had similar characteristics to Phantasma, so it makes some sense.
Oh, dead?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were ghosts.
Yeah.
Most of my girlfriends.
Right. So let's go ahead and jump into the movie, just get this thing rolling. So it's like we were saying, it kind of opens cold, where it's basically just them driving, and for whatever reason, I didn't even know Shaggy took jobs. I thought he was just bumming off everyone else, but he's accepted a job as a gym teacher at an all-girls school that he knows nothing about.
I was so confused as to why, because they didn't even explain for a while why they were going there. They were just like, Shaggy's just like, oh, that girl's school should be coming up, blah blah blah. I'm like, wait, why are they going there?
Yeah.
I didn't understand.
It doesn't make a lot of sense. And then they finally get there, but it's like a completely run down from the outside. Like, it looks like no one lives there. And
right.
At first they think it's this other place that's next door, which is the Callaway's like army school or something. I mean, that's a really fancy establishment. And then next door is this broken down place that they end up going to. And they meet Miss Grimwood, who kind of reminds me of, like, I guess imagine like Elizabeth Taylor, like older Elizabeth Taylor. And that's kind of what she looks like.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I agree completely.
Yeah, and with her is like, and she's just a super nice, like, older lady. I guess she's a witch. I'm not certain of that, but I think that's the implication.
I honestly don't know. Like, they weren't very clear on that
part.
Yeah,
they never state that, but it's like,
she kind of like, I mean, that would be the closest thing that she fits into, but I mean, it wasn't really ever, I don't know. It wasn't really, like, integral to the story, so they didn't really...
If so, though, she would be a good witch, because we see a bad witch later on. We'll get there. But she also has this disembodied hand, basically just a glove, a white glove flying around.
Now, this was my question, because, like, you see the white glove flying around, and I'm like, okay, so most of these characters are based off of Universal Monsters, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay, which one's missing? Which one of those Universal Monster characters is really not?
I see where you're going with this. But go on.
Invisible Man, right?
Yeah.
So my question is, is this a disembodied hand, or is this some naked guy who happens to be an invisible man that's just wearing a glove?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I thought you were going to go with that. That, I mean, it could be. I hope it's not, because that would be weird.
It makes some sense.
It makes sense, because how else would
those,
no other hand, disembodied hand usually flies. So,
right. I mean, if you think of, like, disembodied hands and stuff, like, you think of, like,
Thing from Adam's Family.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And he doesn't fly.
No.
You know, so it makes more sense that this hand is attached to a very naked, invisible man.
Yeah. We'll just assume that
around a bunch of little girls. Ugh. So it's just,
it's awkward. That's why
he's,
they don't,
pretending to be just the hand, because, you know, who knows what he's doing with his other hand.
Yeah. Oh god. Yeah, we'll assume that it's the Invisible Man, but we just will never talk about it again.
Yeah, it's probably for the best.
Yeah. And we already kind of talked a little bit about everyone else, the students who are in this class, and they've basically just hired Shaggy to, as a gym teacher, just to train the girls for, he has one day to train them to be volleyball champions in order to beat Callaway's cadets at volleyball, because they have an annual volleyball game, and I guess they're really competitive over it. But I don't know why they just give him a day to do the training, and he doesn't even train them in volleyball. He just does, like, ballet and stuff. I don't know. It's weird.
I didn't understand the ballet thing. Like, I don't remember doing ballet when I was in gym. Yeah. I don't know if maybe that's what you guys did. But.
Well, I guess the teacher says it's to help to make them limber for the game.
Right.
But that just seems like a stretch.
They could just stretch.
Yeah.
Because I did stretching and warm-ups in gym, but I never did ballet. But, like, there was, like, I did have one gym teacher in seventh grade. He taught us the Macarena, and it was, like, part of our grade. We had to learn the Macarena. But he later got fired for looking down girls' shirts while he did push-ups.
Oh, no.
They did push-ups. So, like, he just had some problems.
Maybe the Invisible Man was on contract, and so they couldn't fire him, so he's still around. But they hired Shaggy to replace him because of misdeeds he was doing.
Okay, now I did find a theory. Thank you, Reddit. I did find a theory as to why Shaggy's wearing a red shirt. Only when they are dealing with real monsters.
Oh.
And it's so that the blood blends in. Like, if he were to get slashed or injured or something like that, the blood would just blend into his red shirt and wouldn't scare the kiddies.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I don't think this is real at all, but it's... No.
I mean, there's no other explanation, so we just kind of have to go with that.
It's a theory.
Yeah.
I mean, it makes sense. I mean, if it's his blood, I mean, if it's like, you know, someone else's blood, like if he's fighting a monster and it bleeds, it's probably going to be black or green.
But then it doesn't count, because then you can show it. Because in, like, every 80s cartoon, if there was, like, monster blood, it had to be a different color or the same color as whatever monster it was. If it's green, it's fine. Complete bloodshed.
I don't think, like, even now, I think most cartoons can't show blood except for, like, I think Netflix can, and, like, if it premieres on a major network and is not on, like, late at night, like Adult Swim kind of stuff, I don't think they can show blood.
Though. Yeah. Oh, well, I mean, that's probably true.
Otherwise, everyone's got to be robots, so you don't scare people and make them think about death being a part of life.
Yeah. Well, now all they need to do is just put all of them in red shirts and we're good.
Exactly. And then it doesn't even matter.
Just learn from Shaggy.
It could be blatant and the censors wouldn't even know.
Just red pants, red shirt, whatever. Just give him red clothes.
Yeah. There's one thing, though, that like both Winnie and Elsa are pretty ugly. I'm just going to throw that out there. They're pretty ugly. But well, Elsa has nothing redeeming. She's just ugly. But Winnie, the little werewolf girl, when they go jogging and stuff, she's running on all fours and it was freaking adorable.
Oh yeah.
And I just like, I wanted to like, you know, pick her up and give her a squeeze.
And she's always like,
just so cute,
howling between each, pretty much everything she says. She always howls.
She does howl a lot. Also like Tannis is cute too. She's a cute little mummy.
Oh yeah. Thing. She's adorable. She's just a baby mummy.
Yeah. Her designs, like all of the character designs are just adorable, except for Elsa's just butt ugly.
Well, she's
like, somebody put her back together wrong.
She's kind of gross and she just has a really deep voice.
You remember those girls from Ed, Edd n Eddy that like had crushes on the three Eds?
Oh yeah.
And they were kind of like, they were super trailer trash.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Like two of those girls were super ugly and she kind of reminds me of a blend of those two.
Oh, yeah. No, it's true. I guess what's kind of weird to me is like, so these girls are in school, finishing school, which I guess is like a kind of private high school equivalent.
I'm like, what are they finishing?
School?
And why is the mummy in there? She's a baby.
Well, see, okay, there's that. But also, maybe she's also kind of like a millennia old or something. That's my question is, do they ever age? The ones that are undead, like, you know, most of them. Sabella, she's a vampire, so she shouldn't age according to most vampire things. Tannis is a mummy, so she's already dead. She can't age.
Yeah. Phantasma's dead.
Phantasma's dead. Can't age.
Elsa's just going to decay.
Well, yeah, I mean, because she's just she's essentially constructed from other corpses.
The only one that can maybe age is Winnie.
Yeah, but she is going to live a short life because she kind of is going to age like a dog or a wolf.
So if like let's just throw out there that she's at least, how old do you think she's supposed to be? Maybe like, I don't know, 10?
Yeah, that's a good guess.
So she's facing the end of her life already. She's not going to college.
Yeah, no, she's already at least a little over middle age at this point.
Oh yeah. She's gonna die soon.
Assuming her mom is truly a wolf, but maybe they split it in the middle somewhere and she'll age kind of in between a human and a dog. So
oh, maybe
she might make it to her 40s.
Yeah, probably not.
I don't know.
Did you feel like the plot of this movie was just all over the place?
I didn't feel like it was all over the place. What I had forgotten was that there was an extra part to it though, because it seems it's not all over. Yeah, I forgot about the Revolta part. At first, I was just thinking like that the whole thing was going to be Shaggy training them to beat Calloway's school, but that was just such a small portion of it that I had forgotten about the rest of it.
They're almost like completely inconsequential. I don't know. It's so the way this movie is set up, it's like there's three parts to it. And, you know, most movies do have three acts, but those three acts seem to have more in common with each other in other movies. Where this one was the game against the Callaway cadets, and then the second part was the parents visiting.
Oh, yeah.
And the third part was the girls being kidnapped by Revolta. And so the third act, like, I guess, you know, some stuff happens that does call back to the other portions, but, like, barely. So to me, it just kind of felt like, I don't know, it felt really disjointed until like the last 10 minutes of this movie.
I mean, they all sort of connect in a way. It's very loose and it seems like the volleyball game is a little unnecessary, but also important just to show the relationships between both the schools, I suppose, even though they are rivals. And it really didn't show anything otherwise until some of the cadets were saved by a couple of the girls.
Right.
But the volleyball game was just like, it was a sham anyway, because first of all, the monsters have these abilities and they're already kind of cheating using them. And then the cadets, they are literally cheating by making a remote control ball. So it's just the worst volleyball game. Scrappy's a referee, so he doesn't even notice the remote control ball for some reason. I don't know. It was just all up in the air as far as that game goes.
Yeah, the game was just a big, like, I don't know. It was just garbage. It was really dumb. I felt like it didn't need to even be there. Like, at least the way they did it. I don't know, man. Like, I didn't enjoy that part. And it was like, what was funny to me, though, is like they had the boys using that remote control ball so they can control where it goes and everything. And they still, like, were not getting an advantage at all. They were still neck and neck the entire time.
Yeah.
So I'm like, well, then what was even the point? Like, I would understand it if, you know, it was one of those cases where they just started stomping the girls, and then the girls really had to, like, you know, be a team and muster together to defeat these boys, even though the boys are cheating. But that wasn't the case at all. It was just, it was still back and forth constantly, and nobody had an advantage.
Until Scooby accidentally swallows the remote control and then accidentally helps out the girls.
Yeah, and they still only win by 1 point.
Yeah. There's something I had a question about was, so most of the things in this school are monsters or monster related in some way, or like spiders or, oh, and Matches is a little dragon. I don't think we mentioned Matches. Him, but we didn't really talk about him.
Oh, and Matches hates everybody.
He's very defensive. Yeah, he does not, he really doesn't like Scooby at first, and throughout most of the thing, he's lighting him on fire any chance he gets. So yeah, he's basically a baby dragon like Spike, and except he doesn't
even think he likes Miss Grimwood, man. Like, you know, he's saying some dragon F-bombs under his breath.
Yeah.
He like shakes his fist at her and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, he's not a very happy dragon, but he is cute.
No, he's very angry.
But a question I had was, so all these are monster or, you know, whatever things, but then their cook is an octopus for some reason.
Yeah. With like a toupee.
Yeah. I didn't understand that. Like, why wasn't he a monster? Why was he just literally a sea creature who didn't really need water?
They were just running short on ideas, I guess.
I guess, but an octopus of all things. I don't know. He could have been literally anything else, but I guess he just needed all those hands. But then why not just make him a spider, like a giant spider?
Because they had a spider who built the volleyball net.
Oh yeah, it was legs. Yep.
I liked him. He hates Miss Grimwood too, because she's like, go fix the net, because the net, you know, kept getting broken.
Most of the creatures who work for the school are just like the ones from Flintstones, where they're just like, it's a living. Like they just do it because they need to.
They have depressing lives, man. they only do it like because they gotta pay the bills.
Yeah.
Otherwise they'd be out of there in a flash.
Gotta pay their monster bills.
Exactly.
That was a tangent. Where were we? It's after the volleyball game.
Well, like once the volleyball game's over, the next act of this movie is basically that their parents are coming to visit. And that's freaking Shaggy and Scooby out. And like, you know, I'm wondering why, like, the only parents show up are the dads. Like, do they not have moms? Are the moms all like the deadbeat moms or something? Like,
well, we've already established that Winnie's mom is a literal wolf, so she's not allowed in.
That's true. But she didn't even show up. Like,
no, she was probably outside. It was fine. She was leashed up on the tree or something.
Leashed on the tree.
We didn't
see Bride of Frankenstein, so maybe.
Well, it was almost
Frankenstein's
like
monster's a widower now. I don't know.
It was almost like Tannis's the mummy's mom was. It was almost like her dad was a single father because she kept calling him mummy daddy. And I know it's because he's a mummy, but also it's like,
well,
I wonder,
he could be trans. I mean, you don't know what's under those wrappings.
I was just thinking
so
that he was
would
both
make a lot of sense.
A mommy and a daddy. I don't know.
Exactly. He's maybe he's not trans then. Maybe he's just like, maybe he's pan gender or whatever. Like he's fluid. He could be either at any time.
There you go.
They could be either at any time.
He's just everything.
Trying to be appropriate there. You know, I don't want to say it's a he or a she.
Yeah, just throw a bow in his hair bow in his bandages just like his daughter has, and now he's mom.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, okay, so that solves that one.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got a couple of them solved. But like Phantasma, they could at least give him a mom because that thing obviously wasn't the Phantom of the Opera. It was just a freaking phantom.
Yeah.
It was just a ghost.
Yeah, I don't know. There literally are no moms, and there's no explanation why.
Maybe they're just like, nah, we had enough girl power for the day since we got all girls here at the school.
Shaggy and Scooby are just freaked out by this, of course, because it's these you know, real monsters coming out, the fathers who are literal representations of the monsters that their daughters represent. Something that you'll hear a lot, and you could kind of sum this movie up even by replacing every time someone would say girls with ghouls, and replacing anything that sounds that started with a B with bat.
I love Dracula's bat robe.
That was pretty cool, actually.
I thought it was actually, it was kind of fun. I was like, I kind of want like a little stuffed bat with a bathrobe on.
A little bat robe.
But it's like all the girls made like gifts for their dads.
Oh, yeah. Show up,
and Sabella knitted a little bathrobe. It was like this little red satin bathrobe, you know, all silky smooth against your leathery wings. He can only wear it when he's in his bat form. So he turns into a bat and he puts it on. It just looks hilarious.
Elsa makes a portable Shockman, not a Walkman, but a portable Shockman, which literally just gives off electric bolts, since that's what charges her and her father. For some reason, Winnie makes her dad a juicer because he's a big fan of, like, what was it, like lemons or something?
Yeah, I don't know. That, like, I mean, come on, you're not going to feed a werewolf lemons. That doesn't make any sense. They need blood.
I just didn't
need fresh raw meat.
She could have just made him like dog food or something. I don't know. I didn't get the
dog food.
I didn't get her thing at all, but that's all right.
Like if I was getting a gift for a werewolf, well, if it wasn't a silver bullet because it would freak me out and I wouldn't want to die, it would probably be kitchen knives or something, you know, chop up that meat, make it a little bit more like digestible, or, you know,
just get him a meat tenderizer.
Yeah, that's perfect. Meat tenderizer.
That's all she had to do. And then Tannis got her dad a Fright Light, which is, it was kind of cool looking, actually. It was basically a mummy nightlight that's eyes glowed. And so he would always have light inside his sarcophagus.
I actually kind of like that, and I kind of want one.
Yeah, seriously, I'd take that.
I could see that in your house.
Phantasma, she didn't make anything. She just played the organ for her dad. And then the octopus chef actually jumped in on the drums. So I guess that was his use.
And the naked invisible man helped out with one of his hands.
Oh, yeah.
The other one was occupied.
Always.
Oh, man. But when they all leave, so they're being really nice to Shaggy and Scooby and them, because they're like, oh, we've heard so much about you. And like the mummy like hugs them and they're like, thank you so much for teaching our daughters and helping them beat those Callaway cadets and all that stuff. So they're being all nice to him and stuff. And so like, you know, Shaggy's starting to get a little more relaxed. And then as each of them leave, they all like threaten his life.
Yeah, that's true. While this is all going on, there's these little plants that keep coming up out of the ground with eyes. They're literally just like eye sprouts or something. They're called Venus spy traps is what they're called.
Oh, God, that's stupid.
Revolta. So she's the bad witch. We talked about her a little bit earlier. And yeah, she's literally this like,
I don't even know how to describe
gross
her.
Looking monstrous lady. She's got four arms, I think. And then
she has.
Her second in command is almost like just a anthropomorphic potato. I don't know what he's supposed to be.
That's exactly what it is. He is he's a giant green cyclops potato with vines for arms and legs.
That sounds like an awesome band name. Giant green cyclops
giant green
potato.
Cyclops potato.
Yeah.
Yeah. I used to play bass for them.
Yeah. His name's the Grim Creeper. Like a lot of these have really weird or dumb names, but so he's the Grim Creeper.
That sounds like that should be the name of the naked invisible man.
Yeah. He's got these plants all over the place, these Venus spy traps that are watching everything the girls and Shaggy and them are doing. And the idea is for Revolta, as you were saying before, for the third act to take control of them, or to kidnap them first and then take control of them, and ultimately, I don't know, have them as her minions. I don't know why.
Yeah, she wants to turn them evil,
right?
And then have them do her bidding, because then she thinks she'd be unstoppable,
which is weird why she didn't just try that on the parents and went for the little girls instead. But I guess it would be easier
exactly.
for her.
Doesn't make any sense. Plus, I'm like, they're monsters. If you turn them evil, their parents aren't even gonna care.
Yeah.
Their parents are probably gonna be proud.
They'll thank you for it. Yeah.
It was just poor planning.
Shaggy gets brainwashed or his mind taken over, and he
it's because that bat farts red dust on his face while he's sleeping.
That's right. Oh yeah, a big
that's
spider.
That's pretty much
bat.
What happens.
No, that's literally what happens. You're not even exaggerating. Yeah. No joke. He just farts red gas on him. That's a mind control fart. And
Yeah. I wish I had those. Mine are just like, it helps like shoo people away from me.
Yeah. So it has its own power.
That's the only power I've got.
Shaggy gets taken control of, and he's got a, he's leading the girls to this bog, the barren bog. And that's where this is all going to go down, the kidnapping. And then simultaneously, the cadets are going to this bog to train or something. And so here's where it turns into a situation where the cadets get saved a little bit, or that might have happened a little bit earlier. I can't remember, but
no, it happens during this.
Okay.
So Shaggy leads them in and he's like, let's go for a jog in the bog. You know, that rhymes.
Of course.
So that's why he said it. So they kind of split up. They go off in pairs of two pretty much, and they're going through the bog. And there's this shack, and I think it was Winnie, I think, gets captured first. Winnie gets pulled into the shack, and I guess the bat farts on her. And well, they're spider bats.
Yeah, yeah.
And it farts on her, and she gets these like cobweb earmuffs all of a sudden, and then she's under the influence of Revolta.
Mm-hmm.
And then they pull Phantasma, and they trick Phantasma into coming in and do the same to her. And like one by one, they get all of them, except for like Sabella.
She fights it at first.
Yeah, she fights it. She gets captured eventually, like last, but she lasts a while, honestly. But like before all of them get caught, Elsa and Tannis are together, and those Callaway cadets were hiking through, and they fall in quicksand, and they're sinking, and they're gonna die, which is, you know, the world would have been a better place.
Oh,
so they're calling for help, and Elsa and Tannis find them. And they're kind of like, I don't know, judging them a little bit because quicksand is awesome. And these boys are just a bunch of whiny crybabies.
Yeah.
But Elsa picks up like a fallen tree and like throws it out and pulls them out. So she saves their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And the boys remember that. So that'll come into play later. But like one by one, they all get captured and go in this cabin, which turns into a rocket ship. Because, you know,
why not?
What cabin doesn't?
What's weird is the way that Shaggy, Scooby, and Scrappy, and I can't remember who else, got to the castle. Like, they didn't walk there or anything. It's literally just uphill, and they could have, but instead
they catapulted themselves.
They catapulted themselves off of a tree. That was strange to me. Well, I mean, it's a cartoon, fair enough, but
yeah,
that was a weird option for them to just launch themselves to the castle.
Yeah, it's like literally like, I mean, if they jog there, it'd take them a few minutes.
Yeah.
Like they could get there
instead
easily.
They took the most dangerous route. Yeah.
Yeah. We better fling ourselves through the air at crazy speeds just to be safe.
Just to be safe, yeah. And launch themselves into Revolta's castle.
Yes.
One of the things they face in there is... basically mirror monster Shaggy. So there's this mirror that shows like an evil side of whoever looks into it, and Shaggy gets pulled into it, and his monster Shaggy comes out, and it's literally just same Shaggy but just with a like demon face,
and he's got pointy ears. Oh yeah, he's got a little bit more scruff.
Yeah, and nobody really notices at first until he starts chasing Scooby.
I noticed.
Well, we noticed, but but the people in the show didn't notice. All the girls are still taking over. They've all got kind of little metallic head things on.
They're getting their hair done. They got the...
yeah, they have like little
hair dryers on their heads.
Yeah, hair dryers on their head. And
if they're going to serve Revolta, they're going to serve her in style.
But at the stroke of midnight, once their hair is done, like they're getting taken over. Like they're turning full evil.
They'll be evil. Yeah.
After they get their hair done.
Everything happens at midnight.
The witching hour.
Ah, ha, ha. Oh, clever. Well, eventually, like, the mirror monster just, he gets fed up with the real world. He just can't deal. So, like, he, of his own accord, goes back to his own mirror and kicks Shaggy out.
That's right.
Like, Shaggy got trapped in the mirror when he came out.
I can't remember what he said. He's just like, oh, it's too dangerous out here or something like that.
Yeah, it's just because, like, weird stuff kept happening to him. And it was like, one of those cases where, like, Scooby and Scrappy would do something unknowingly injuring mirror monster.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, I can't do it. And he's just like, you know,
this sucks.
I prefer being trapped in a mirror to the real world.
The mirror dimension's way better.
Exactly. So he goes back there.
Scooby-Doo is dressed up like a mummy at one point. He gets kind of launched accidentally into Revolta's lair, and the Grim Creeper finds him out, and Revolta tells him to dispose of him and his friends. So, you know, giant green potato Cyclops, his job now is to is to kill off Scooby and everyone else. Then he gets dropped down into a well, and I think the rest of them do too, Shaggy and them. And yeah, this is where the Well Dweller, a.k.a. Frank Welker, comes into play. And it's a three-eyed purple monster who sounds like Krulos. That is the voice he's doing. Oh, yeah,
he does, doesn't he?
Yeah.
It's like Frank Welker's got like that one, like, oh, that monster kind of like screamy yell that he does. And it's just so awesome that it's like, you know, use it for everything. I don't care.
Yeah, seriously.
Like, it's great.
That's just the first thing I'd ever heard it on was Krulos. So that's what I always associate that voice with.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, it's awesome. It works perfectly for that.
I don't even know how he does it, man. Like, I have tried to imitate like some of the voices Frank Welker does, and I don't even see how it's possible.
No,
without destroying your throat.
Yeah, it's got to be, I don't know, he's like a robot or something. It's so weird.
He has like an extra set of lungs or something.
The cadets are, they, as you know, as you said earlier, like they remember the favor that was done for them. So they come to rescue the girls on their little helicopter thing.
Yeah, they have a helicopter for some reason, like a, I don't know, like one of it's them, like a bicycle helicopter.
Yeah, because one of them is like a mechanic or an engineer dude. I don't know. He builds things. He does machines.
Was that the, I can't remember. Well, they did like the thing where they tried to have like a kid from every race and then also one fat kid.
Yeah.
So that they were being all inclusive.
I don't know.
But anyway, yeah, one of them, I think it was the Mexican kid, builds a lot of stuff.
Yeah, it was a Mexican kid.
Yeah. But and one okay, real quick, I hate the cadets. I hate all of them.
Oh,
mostly just because the way they talk, because everything they say is affirmative, negative, Roger that. Like they just talk like they're on a walkie-talkie, but they're like literally standing next to each other, and it's really obnoxious.
Well, they're cadets. They're in training.
I don't even care. Like they suck. Like I don't. You know what? If they went into the military and that's all the way they talked before they even like started boot camp, like they would get made fun of so much.
Oh, I didn't mind the cadets.
I would be there making fun of them. I don't care how young they are.
I didn't mind them. They weren't so bad. Scooby-Doo gets turned into a toad at one point.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, they played racquetball with the Well Dweller.
Oh, that's right. That's how they get out of the well. Yeah. They start playing racquetball with them, and then he's, I don't know, he likes it, so he just, like, lets them crawl up his scales and get out.
It's a really good way to, like, you know, make peace with your enemies. You just challenge them to a game of racquetball at the local Y, and just see how it goes, and you'll be buds by the time it's over.
If it worked for Scooby in the well against the Well Dweller, it'll work for you.
Exactly. So they run up there and they like start yanking off the hair dryers on all these girls' heads.
Yeah.
So the girls kind of are like, oh no, what's going on? And start coming to you and are trying to help Scooby, Shaggy, Scrappy against Revolta and that potato thing. And I guess like all they needed to do was throw Revolta's wand in like that cauldron and that was it.
Well, I think they just had to take it from her because that was a source of her power mainly. So Tannis uses her.
Tannis just grabbed it.
Uses her bandages and makes a lasso and grabs it. And then, they just toss it into the cauldron that she's making this mind control potion in. And that causes a chain reaction, I guess, that's basically about to make the place explode.
Which would be awesome.
And then does make the place go up into flames.
Yeah. But first it's like, before it explodes, the cadets were like, here's a ladder, grab on. I don't even think it was a ladder. I think they dropped like a rope and everyone just grabbed onto each other.
Yeah.
And they like pulled them out. But then Revolta and her potato friend get on magic broomsticks and they fly away. And before the whole castle explodes, you see just this like explosion of energy, like just shoot out of like the top of this castle and conveniently just slams right into the potato and Revolta and misses everybody else.
Yeah.
And their broomsticks disintegrate, but they're still whole. And then they fall, I assume, to their deaths.
That's a good assumption. That would be my assumption too.
Like, at least that potato is just done.
Because he is fried.
He'd just be mashed potatoed by that point.
Nice.
Just if he lands in that bog, like,
he's dinner. He's after that.
He's dinner.
Yeah, we never hear from them again. So the assumption is that they are dead, kaput.
And rightfully so.
Yeah. And so what happens after that, they're about to go back to the school, but the girls still want to explore the bog. And then the cadets are just like, I'll never understand girls. And then especially Grimwood girls. And then that's the end laugh thing. And then the worst part of the movie happens. Scrappy starts to rap.
What do you mean
rap.
The worst? Wasn't this the best part?
Well, depends on your opinion, I guess. But this is the Scrappy rap starts. And that.
Yeah. Ugh. The thing was, is that like they didn't have enough scenes of Scrappy being as awful as he usually is. So they had to throw this in at the very end to make sure that you hated him still.
Oh, yeah. Just as a reminder.
So they did a good job with that.
Yeah, because he was bearable throughout the movie. And then this happens. It's like, oh, that's right. Scrappy sucks.
And then towards the end, they kind of introduce some new students.
Yes.
And their parents, I couldn't tell what the heck that first one was supposed to be.
It's just some alien, just some Martian thing.
I have no idea. Yeah, I don't know. It had like a pancake face. I don't know what that was. Yeah. But then you had the Gill Man and his daughter.
Creature from the Black Lagoon. Literally. Like it was the Gill Man, except instead of green, it was like orangish red.
Yeah. And then there was like a little Godzilla girl. And then like all you could see of her parent was just like part of the foot.
Yeah. Which was pretty funny.
Yeah. But I was like, oh, cool. Like a Godzilla. I like that. That's awesome. But Godzilla didn't have a daughter. We know that he had a son. Because we have seen him in movies.
Yeah, true. Godzilla Jr. and or so this Minya is, or something. Yeah.
It doesn't even matter.
No, it doesn't matter.
A bad movie.
But but after that, Shaggy and Scooby, the whole time they've been wanting to get out of there. And this is where they draw the line. And they're just like, all right, well, we're gone. And they start running off, driving away. But then like the girls come outside and wave goodbye, and they wave goodbye back, and then they get a good howl to close it out.
They should have just left Scrappy behind while he was rapping. Like, yeah. That would have been like, while he's distracted, yeah. I would have been like, Scooby, let's get out of here. You know, let's go get our pot and just drive on into the sunset.
Right. If only.
And they also had another opportunity at the very beginning of the movie, driving there. Scrappy is like trying to prove how buff he is by lifting weights in the back of the van.
Oh yeah.
And he like falls out the back doors and he's like hanging by his feet. And like they should have just let that little thing fall out and just, you know, let him be roadkill. But instead Scooby pulled him back in because he's a good uncle, I guess, but he's a better uncle than I would have been. Yeah. I feel like a car accident would be an appropriate way for a cartoon dog to go.
Just roadkill. Well, Chris, looks like it's about time we dress our inner kids up like teen girl versions of the little monsters that they are and see if we can enroll them into Miss Grimwood School so we can find out what they thought of Scooby-Doo and the Ghoul School.
I really liked most of the characters in this cartoon, but I did get a little bored, mostly because of the dumb boys from that stupid military school. And I'm like, who cares? There's monsters to play with. Give me more monsters. But I think that Sabella and Phantasma are so cute that I don't know which one's going to be my girlfriend. Just definitely not Elsa. She got stitched together with the wrong face. I gave this cartoon 2.5 bowls of spiderweb, snail, and tadpole tail cereal out of 5.
This movie was a fun addition to the Scooby-Doo library that I actually really enjoyed. The backdrop was unique, the characters were entertaining, and it was great seeing animated renditions of some of my favorite classic monsters. All that said, even though I do like Scooby-Doo, this was a situation where Shaggy, Scooby, and Scrappy were even less vital to the resolution of the plot than normal. If you extracted those three from it entirely and just made it about the amazing Ghoul Girls and the valiant Callaway Cadets, I think I would have been equally entertained. Overall, I'd give Scooby-Doo and the Ghoul School 4 big bowls of Grim Creeper Crunch cereal out of 5, and would definitely recommend any young monster fans check out this fantastic film. Also, I'm convinced that Phantasma should definitely be my future ghoul friend. I may be young and, you know, alive, but if Patrick Swayze and Demi Moore could make it work, I feel like we have a chance. I think I just need to take up pottery or something.
You know, so I said this a couple times during this movie, and I stand by it, and I just, on a serious note, I just want to reemphasize it, is that Elsa was so ugly. She was just disgusting, and I really didn't like her, but
I feel like I don't know if you've driven that point hard enough.
Do you have any final thoughts about this cartoon?
I really liked it. I remember liking it as a kid and I still really enjoyed it. It's cheesy and it's corny, but I mean, that's most Scooby-Doo movies. So it's not that much different. It's it's miles above anything having a Flim Flam in it. So there's that.
It's very true.
And, I mean, I did like 13 Ghosts of Scooby-Doo, but Flim Flam was just such a detractor for it. This one didn't have any characters that really took away from me. Even the cadets, even though you didn't like them, I didn't mind them at all. So it wasn't so bad. I do think, though, that this didn't necessarily need to be a Scooby-Doo product. It could have been just the Ghoul School and had those characters around it, because it didn't need Shaggy, Scooby, or Scrappy in this at all. Like, they didn't add anything to it. And in fact, Shaggy's the one who led them into that trap in the first place. So if anything, they took away from it. So I think it could have been a good standalone. Either way, I think it's fun and I would recommend checking it out.
You know, like, there's something to be said when you said that this, like, the Ghoul School could have been its own thing. That will come into play in a couple weeks when we watch a very certain school monster-ish related thing. And I'll let the listeners try to take a guess at what that is, but it's not going to be for a couple weeks.
Oh, no.
So it's not going to be the one I announce on this episode, but you guys just guess at what it is. And you might get a giggle out of it because me and Joseph are going to groan.
I feel like I know what it is.
I'll tell you after the episode.
I'm a little worried.
But you know, I really liked the idea of the Ghoul School and I liked most of the characters. I do like all the ghouls as much as I give Elsa crap about how ugly she is. It's just because like all the other ones were super cute and I thought her character design was just not cute at all. And so I was like, eh. But for the most part, I honestly really did like these characters. I like their personalities, the designs, but I hated the cadets. I didn't care for Revolta. I didn't like her potato, even though it was kind of funny. It just got, I don't know. Him as a character, I thought was dumb, even though his design's hilarious. And the plot to me just felt like it was all over the place. And though they did tie a few things together at the end, the payoff just was not enough for me. And I would have preferred a little bit more classic cartoony Scooby-Doo type horror for the amount of monsters that were involved in this. And instead it felt more like a summer camp style story, which I've never really been a big fan of, but there are a few enjoyable aspects. It's just that like Phantasma's Laugh, the memory I had of this cartoon was much better than the reality for me.
Okay. I mean, overall still enjoyed it.
Yeah, like, I honestly like your idea. If it would have been just, like, Ghoul School and its own thing, I think it would have been cooler. I don't think it needed to be a Scooby-Doo cartoon. Like, those characters were cool enough to get their own properties.
Yeah, I think so. And I think that they had to force so much to happen just to fit around the Scooby-Doo, Shaggy, and Scrappy being in there that it was more of a detractor than anything. Not that, I mean, I do like those characters. I do like I don't like Scrappy that much, but I do like Scooby and Shaggy.
No one does.
So
yeah,
it's not any slight against them. I think it's just like they were kind of forced into this plot.
Yeah, exactly. I agree with that.
But definitely thank you, Prince Dragonair, for suggesting this.
Thanks.
Well, listeners, looks like our milk supply is now run dry, so it's time for us to say goodbye. And next week, for the second installment of our October celebration, we'll be watching
Monster Force, submitted via Facebook by Frankie Fernandez.
Awesome. Thanks, Frankie. I've heard of this, but definitely never seen it, so it'll be interesting.
Yeah, I hope that it's semi-enjoyable because we couldn't, like, we were warned that this was a hard one to find, so we had to buy it on DVD and have it delivered. Yeah. So I'm hoping that was $8 well spent.
Yeah, for better or for worse, we own it now, so thanks. And once again, I'm Joseph.
And I'm Chris.
And we'll see you next Saturday.
Presented by NerdSloth,
a place for lazy nerds.
If you like what you heard, consider donating at patreon.com/nerdsloth so we can continue bringing you quality shows. Be sure to also leave us a review and share your favorite episodes and clips on social media. If you're looking for more content, visit us at nerdsloth.com.